Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
We're going to read our scripture from Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. One of my favorite verses. The little heading in my Bible says, pressing toward the goal. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead.
It's nice to be here this morning. Thank you, my wife, for that story. You know, I had you share that story and I said, you know, can you share that story again? Because it went right with my message. I normally don't ask her to tell the story, but this time I requested her to share that story because it will cut my sermon a little bit shorter than it could have been. So, because we're talking about the Word of God. The hymn we sang as we started, Near to the Heart of God, when you look at what's happening around the world today, don't you think we need to be closer to God? Do you think God needs to be closer to us? You know, when I look at the desperation, when I look at the sadness, the depression, and the song tells me that in the presence of God, there is joy and there is fullness, there's peace. I want to be there, don't you? And there's one place we can be in the presence of God, you know. Thank you for that song to prepare our hearts. Jesus loves even who? Do you think about that? Think about that. Who you are as a person. That Jesus loves you. Knowing who he is and who I am. It is such a privilege, such thought that are so deep that Jesus loves even me. And the thing is, Jesus loved you, Jesus loved me enough that he thought it was worth coming to die for you and for me. And once he came and died for you and for me, he even left us the precious word that we can be in his presence all the time. This is Jesus telling you, I want to be with you. Don't let this book be a stranger. Don't be a stranger to this book. And I pray that as we go through this message, you will understand why I really believe strongly that we should be in our Bible daily. Let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you brought us into your presence. This is your house. And as we come into your presence, Father, your children have come here to hear your voice. You have sent me with a message that I've prepared. But Lord, I also know that this is your word and your children want to hear you and not to be entertained or to be told things by me. So I pray, Lord, that you take the notes that I have prepared. Use them to speak to your children individually and meet them at their points of need. If there's anything I prepared that should not be said, Lord, help me to go past it. But if there's anything that I say that I shouldn't have said, Lord, please take it away and let your children just hear your voice. That when they leave here, they'll know that they have been with you. Hear our prayer and speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come and we're still living in a very difficult time. 2020 was, and the most common word in 2020 was what? Unprecedented. We thought that was the end of it. 2021 came along and the word became even the most used word again. We live in a time when our society is totally divided. Politically, in this country, I've been here 20 years now, I've never seen the U.S. as divided as we are today. We hear wars and rumors of war. Brother versus brother, sister and sister, people are not in agreement. We see divisions around the world, and today we used to hear about this rumor of something happening over there, and now it's a reality. Russia has attacked Ukraine. Coming back to the physical world, we hear about earthquakes, we hear about famine, diseases, and it may not be so apparent for us, but I get involved with the homeless ministries, and in the winter, when we go to serve those people, I tell you, my heart always breaks. We hear about tornadoes. For the first time this year, I heard about a tornado in winter. I thought those was a fall event. In December, just before, 2 weeks before Christmas, Kentucky was devastated. And as if that was not enough, on January 2nd, more tornadoes touched down. What's happening? The economic world. We are seeing increasing tension between the rich and the poor, because the gap is getting wider and wider and wider. The poor wants a share, the rich don't want a share, and it's getting very, very difficult. Even in a country as rich and well endowed as the US of America. Socially, morality is at its lowest. Look at how many families are broken. Look at how people are so selfish, just thinking about me, I, and myself. I almost think morally we are getting close to Genesis 6 verse 5, where the Bible says that God saw that the thoughts and imaginations of man were only evil, how much? Continually. In the religious world, think about it, look at it. We have so many people coming up now. Everybody is a prophet. Everybody is a bishop. They are prophesying this, they are manifesting that, and people are so confused. Because of the desperation of people, they're looking for anyone who can give them hope. And we have a lot of people coming up right now. Maybe you don't see it much in this country, but you know, you look at the poor nations of this world. There are those who drink poisons, people who think that when the pour soda drinks on them that their sins are cleansed. There are people who are being economically taken advantage of. Pantheism, the idea that God is in everything. Spiritism, heathenism, spiritualism, all these things are infiltrating even our own theological schools. But thank God, but also technologically, with technology now, the gospel is going all over the world. Right now, because of this thing here, we have access to so many things that unfiltered, our minds will be destroyed. But through this also, thank God, the gospel is moving forward. Friends, what does Jesus tell us in Matthew 24? When you see these things happening, what should we be doing? We should be preparing, because we know what? Our salvation draws near. Jesus says that these signs will happen, but I am not coming yet. So when we see famines, we see earthquakes, we see all this social and all this degradation, Jesus is saying, I am even at the door. And in Luke 21:28, Jesus says, when you see these things happen, do what? Look up, for your salvation draws near. So instead of being sad, instead of wondering what's happening, if we go into the Word of God, we realize it's time to do what? To look up. So friends, I'm here to encourage you to do this one thing look up, for our salvation draws near. So, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is telling his friends and brethren, finally brothers. I'm looking at Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. Turn with me to your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of those of the circumcision, for we are of the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Okay. And Paul goes on to develop this thought. He talks about his own experience and himself. So as we read that book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about himself, the things that he has done. And he says in verse 4 and 5 that, you know, if anyone who has any confidence in the flesh, I am the one who should do that because I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Jew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And as concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Basically, I know the whole law. But Paul says that all these things which were gained to me, I count them as loss for the sake of Christ. I'll just jump on to verse 13 where we are supposed to read it down on the screen there. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind and reach forward unto those things which are before me. Verse 14 says, I press toward what? The mark. For the prize of what? The high calling of who? The high calling of who? In Christ. God has a call for our lives. And that call is in Christ. I want to suggest to you that the call of God for us today is to have his image restored in our lives. And that's why Paul talks about how his image should be restored. I was looking at the spirit of prophecy. And I got that quotation here, which I want to read with you. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. Pause for a moment. Christ is waiting. Who is his church? You and I. Christ wants himself to be manifested in us. And he says that when the character of the Savior shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come. Does that make you think a little bit there? In Matthew 24, Jesus says, you see all these signs. But then he says, the end is not yet. In verse 14, he nails it. He says what? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations for a witness unto all nations. Then the end will come. And that gospel, I want to believe and I want to state it here very clearly, that the gospel will be preached most effectively in our lives. It is not by this preaching that we do here, but our lives will be what will preach the gospel. And so Mrs. White continues to say that when the character of the Savior shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim his own. It is the privilege of every Christian, and I would say every Seventh-day Adventist Christian, not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord. We are all who profess his name bearing the fruit to his glory. How quickly this whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel, and quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come. Friends, we are now talking about Ukraine and people are fearing. But you know what will make Ukraine not happen again? It's the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel is the only thing that changes our lives. It is the heart of man. If they had the gospel, if they believed the gospel and lived the gospel, we wouldn't be talking about these wars. But we know we are living in a world that the devil has already stolen. And friends, the devil is a fomenter of war. Why is Ukraine happening today? Friends, I was reading this morning. I just happened to get it, so I didn't have it on my slides. But in the Great Controversy, page 589, paragraph 1, it says that Satan delights in war, for it excites the worst passions of the soul, and then it sweeps into eternity the victims steeped in vice and blood. What I'm hearing is that the devil likes war because war makes many people die with bad passions and makes sure that they are sealed to doom with him. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another. For he can thus divide the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of God. If we were in a war, we would not be thinking about God. We'd be thinking about how to survive. So it divides our minds away from it. We think about what's going on that we don't think about God. But God is telling us he wants to build his character in our lives. He wants us to be the people that will stand and share the gospel for him. He wants us to glow like Moses was glowing. When we spend time in the presence of God, there's something that he does in our hearts, something that comes from within that then shows out on the outside. Now, I read this thing from one of the quotations someone sent to me. It is a story of a young man talking to his father. And, you know, very logical question. Dad, do you say that God is big, bigger than us? And then dad says, yeah, God is bigger than you. But then he says, God also lives in us. He says, yeah, he lives in you. So what's the logical conclusion? If something bigger than you lives in you, what happens? It has to show out, right? Simply stated, Jesus wants to live in our lives. And when he takes residence in us, when he abides in us, and his word abides in us, there will be no choice other than for him to show out. Amen? And that's why in my continued reading, I found these quotations. He who would build a strong character, he who would be a well-balanced Christian must give all and do all for Christ. For the Redeemer will not accept a divided service. Daily, he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. Now, listen to that. He must study the Word of God, learning its meaning and obeying its precepts. It's not enough just to read it, but to read it, to trust it, and to obey it. As someone says, God said it, and I believe it, and that does what? Settles it for me. You know, friends, I was studying last night, and we realized that Jesus died, that you and I would have the freedom of choice. We could choose even not to obey him, like the devil did. But do you know something? There is freedom in choice. When we make a choice, oftentimes we would even rather die than lose our choices. And when we choose to serve God, we live by those choices. So I'm looking at this, when people like Daniel, when people like Moses, when people like Joseph read the word of God and they chose to obey it, they had a strong and symmetrical, well-balanced Christian life that day by day, God was working in them and perfecting the character that is to stand in the time of the final test. When they were faced with tests, they had nothing to worry about. Joseph said, I will not do this sin against my God. Daniel said, hey, You want to take this flesh and blood and bones? Put me in lion's den? I'll go, because my life is a cure of God. The three Hebrew boys didn't think that the fire was anything to be worried about. Let's go and burn up, because their life is secure with God. Day by day, God works in the person who studied his word and is willing to obey it. He will perfect the character that we will be able to stand in the final test. And day by day, the believer is working out before men and angels a sublime experiment showing what the gospel can do for fallen human beings. Friends, we are fallen, yes. Are we sinful? Yes. But the power of the gospel can do something in us that we cannot do for ourselves. When Jesus says, I want to make my character shine through you, he's saying, I will do it if you let me do it for you. The life of Christ that gives life to the world is in where? Friends, read with me. The life of Christ that gives life to the world is where? In his word. It is by his word that Jesus healed diseases, that Jesus cast out demons. It is by his word that he stilled the sea and raised the dead. I don't know how many of you have gone to the sea sailing. And when you look this side, it's all blue. You look forward, it's all blue. Everywhere is blue. And you realize how powerful water is. When you know that the water can do anything to your little boat, however big it is, it can do anything to it. But Jesus, at one of those times, just stood up and said, peace, be still. And instantly, the waters obeyed him. Jesus raised the dead by his word, and the people bore witness that his word was with power. He spoke the word of God as no one had ever spoken before. Now, the whole Bible is a manifestation of who? Of Christ. The Savior desired to fix the faith of his followers on the word. In Jesus' mind, he was thinking, when his visible presence should be withdrawn from them, the word must be their source of power. And like their master, they were to live by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We see that in the first temptation. Do I need to emphasize anymore? Jesus is not here with us. We believe that he was alive on earth, that he died for us, and now he's in heaven. And left us his word to be his living presence. That this will be our source of power. When we face temptations, when we face trials, Jesus says, I am leaving you my presence in my word. Friends, Jesus knows what he's speaking about when he tells us to focus on his word. I'm thinking about Psalm 119, one of my favorite texts, verse 9 to 11. Compared to God, we are all young people. And David thinks and says in verse 9, how can a young man make his ways pure before God? And verse 10, he says, by heeding unto what? Your word. He says, I have meditated on your word day and night. And verse 11, he nails it. He says, your word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not do what? Sin against you. In other words, the word of God will keep sin from us and keep us from sin. Or sin will keep us from the word of God. What would you rather have? I'm young enough, and I'm old enough to know that it's always better to be where there's peace, where there's joy evermore. Psalm 16 verse 11. David says, in your presence there is joy evermore. It's not always joyous for us to experience when we choose God. We will go through some suffering. But like Paul, who was in jail at this time, he's telling the Philippians to rejoice. If you put me in jail, do you think I'm going to be rejoicing? But Paul had this freedom that came from the word of God. He knew that his life was with God. And he says, look, rejoice. And he says, rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Because the word of God has assurances for him. When Jesus set up the kingdom, he told Peter that I'm going to give you the keys to what? To heaven. Keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth is what will be bound also in heaven. Friends, I want to tell you something, that the keys of the kingdom of heaven are also the words of who? Of Christ. All the words of the Holy Scriptures are his and are included. These words have power to open and shut heaven. This is how we know how to follow God. And we also know if we don't follow it, then heaven is not ours as well. And we cannot do it on our own. This word tells us in Philippians 4 2 verse 13, that it is God who works in us both to will and to do. So yes, the word tells us what to do and gives us the hope that we can also do it in Christ. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do how many things? All things through who? Through Christ who gives me what? Strength. It may be difficult for you and I to follow what is in this book, but we also have the hope in this book telling us that we can do it because God has promised. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation that has come to you but is common to man. It says, but God is what? Faithful. That he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can do or what you can bear. And then he says that with every temptation, God will do what? Make a way of escape. In other words, we don't need to fall into sin because we are sinful. If we rely on God, if we believe his word and go to him for strength, we can overcome. Friends, that's why these words have the power to open and shut heaven. They declare the conditions upon which men are received or rejected. Thus, the work of those who preach the word of God is a savor of life unto life, or death unto death. Our mission as those of us who preach is weighted with eternal results. And friends, I can tell you this morning, my prayer is that my coming here this morning would encourage you on your journey heavenward. That none of you will be lost because of what you heard from me or what you see me do. And I can tell you, the world around us is waiting for you and I to represent Christ, but our life will show them the way heavenward. And that is why we need to maintain a very concerted effort to continue to live as God would have us to live. Friends, God will never give us anything that we cannot do with his help. God will never place before us a requirement without giving us the power to perform it. He never asks us to take one step in advance of him. Think through this, my friends. The Upward Look, page 159, paragraph 2, says that he leads the way and we are to follow after him. Now, that statement is so potent for me. Following him, following who? Christ, we are in no danger of going astray. How many of you have followed Christ and gone astray? Anybody? Do you know anybody else, if not you, who has followed Christ and gone astray? So why don't we follow him? Following Christ is the only way we can perfect a Christian character as stewards of the grace of God. Let's say amen. Because I see that I have the ability by God's grace to live for him and do the things that he would have me to do. Now, as I think about my life, it's very easy sometimes to speak these things. But Jesus tells us that we should not just be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. He wants us to live for him and to serve him. So I asked myself a few questions which I wanted to share with you this morning. And these are more for reflection. Because I think about some of these things, and as I was putting this together, I just want us to think through how we can live in the word and allow God to use us for his glory to perfect our lives. So question number one, is Jesus living in my life by his word? I personally believe that God lives in us by his word. He says it, Jesus says, let my word abide in you and you abide in me. That's how his spirit lives in us. The next question, do I teach and live the word of God in my home? You know, we can be very nice to people outside, but there's one place where your true life of a Christian is shown. It's in the home. Does my family have a regular family worship where we pass on our faith? Is my Christian life credible? Can my household confess that I live what I preach? I have my wife and I have my kids here. Can they confess to you that I live what I preach? It's a very weighty responsibility. When faced with difficult situations, do I go to God first and his word? Or do I make God's word priority when I face situations? Just five questions to think about as we reflect on the one thing that we are supposed to do. Jesus has to be the center of our daily lives. One of my favorite books is this, Steps to Christ. On page 70, I read this. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very what? First work. Let your prayer be. Take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This should be a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. I have a problem with that. Because many times, I hear the impressions, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. You should be doing this. Do that. Do that. And I allow myself to take control. I don't let God be the one to decide what things I will do and things that I will not do. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after who? The life of Christ. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, that when Christ comes, he's not going to change our character in a moment. The only thing that will be changed in the twinkling of an eye is these bodies and this flesh. But our character is developed when? Now. If you want to stand the test in the future, this is the time to prepare. How many of you have done exams before? So, do you prepare when you're sitting at the desk to do the exam? When do you prepare? If you wait until the day of the exam, my friend, it is too late. Don't wait for a big day to stand for God. Stand for God today in the small, daily, mundane things. And the way to do that is to have a daily experience with God. And I don't want to make it any more difficult. It should be a moment by moment. The song, moment by moment, I am kept by what? By His word. Moment by moment, we need to always rely on God for our strength. Friends, in the Bible, the will of God is revealed. The truths of the word of God are the utterances of the Most High. He who makes this truth a part of his life becomes, in a sense, a new creature. When we make the word of God a part of our daily life, when we allow God to live in us, He makes us a new creature. You know, God says that I will make you, give you a new heart. And it is the things that we fill our minds with every day, the things that not really help us, that dulls our minds from comprehending what God is talking to us about. I don't know how to explain this. But God will not give us a new mental powers. He already has given us the mental capacity. It's all here, my friends. It's all given. But so far we have darkness and ignorance and sin that clouds our mind. And guess what? We do that to ourselves. We spend a lot of time on other things other than the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with spending time in work and other things that you need to do. But when the mind of when God does not illuminate your mind, it is so easy to have your mind clouded with darkness and ignorance and sin that you cannot understand the Word of God. But the Word of God, the words, "a new heart also I will give you," mean that a new mind will I give you. And often, a change of mind, a change of heart, is always attended by a clear conviction of Christian duty, which also is an understanding of the truth. Now listen to this. He who gives the scripture close prayerful attention will gain clear comprehension and sound judgment, as if, in turning to God, he has reached a higher plane of intelligence. I wish I had that quote with me. We talks about the Word of God enabling us to be able to have a higher ability to comprehend even other things that we do in a secular life. I cannot more highly recommend the Word of God to you. Friends, the Bible contains the principles that lie at the foundation of true greatness and all true prosperity, whether for an individual or for a nation. The reading of scriptures causes light to shine into what? To the darkness. If you find yourself slow, if some things are difficult to comprehend, try this. Go to the Word of God and ask God to illuminate your mind to enable you to understand what you're reading and give you the ability to follow His will. Then go back to what you're doing. See if there's a difference. I have experienced it, so I can recommend it 100%. As the Word of God is searched, life-giving truths are found. In the lives of those who heed God's teaching, there will be an undercurrent of happiness that will bless all with whom they are brought in contact. As my wife was sharing that story, she talked about Moses spending time with God. in the mountain. When he came down, he was filled with the word of God. He had been in the presence of God. Friends, this may be a usual one day a week for you to come to church. It can become very normal, very cultural, very traditional. But if you come in here with a mindset to be in the presence of God, when you leave here and go home, God is able to make your countenance glow in such a way that you'll be very attractive to those that you meet. We see that in Moses. He spent time in the presence of God. God filled his life. But this is not just a one-day experience. Every day of our lives, every day, if we spend time with God, when we leave our houses to go out, to work, to school, shopping, driving on the road, his life will fill our lives and we can be able to represent him to those that see us. I highly recommend to you, my brothers, my sisters, spend time in the presence of God. Let him fill our lives that he may glow out. If he comes in, there's no other choice but for him to show out because he's bigger than you and I. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. He wants his character. Remember Paul saying the one thing he's looking for? The high calling of God in us for in Christ. Jesus came to die that his image that was distorted can be restored. When we look at 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5, we're told about in the end of time what will be happening. Men will be boasters. Men will be heady. Men will be so corrupt. Love of many will wax cold. This is the time for the children of God to stand and be filled with love for others. When Jesus says, love your enemy, when the world is telling us, hate your enemy and fight them. When the world is corrupt, this is the time for us to stand up as people of integrity. The greatest want of the world is the want of what? Want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who will not fear to call sin by its right name. Men and women who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That happens when we invest time in the Word of God. Friends, as we sing the last song, number 500, I want to invite you to this one thing experience. The one thing experience where we allow Christ to live in us. When we get to know Christ as he is through Bible study and prayer, that his image will be in our lives. That when the world is getting darker, the brighter we will shine. If we are shining, having been in the presence of God, having been transformed into his character, the darker this world is, the brighter you and I will shine. One thing, my friends, let us commit to spending daily time with God. Let him live within us. May God bless you as you think about these things meditatively. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.